Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
When Absalom rose up against his father and his king, David had to flee for his life. As he fled, some from his kingdom cursed him vigorously. Yet, as we will see in today's passage, David still had a song in his heart and faith that the Lord had heard his cry for help. You should also call on the Lord when you feel hopeless or betrayed. He will hear you too. Please open your Bible to Psalm 3 and follow along with Pastor Ray Viola as he begins his study.
Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 3. This one is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Ouch. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, thy blessing upon thy people. The historical background for this psalm would be found in 2 Samuel chapter 15, chapter 15 through 17, where David had to take to flight from his own palace to hide himself from his rebellious son Absalom. Some Bibles call this a morning prayer to God. A little bit of fitting background from the Preach the Word commentary. David's flight from Absalom was a particularly horrifying moment in his life. The insurrection was unexpected. It came at a time when David was strong and well-established as king. Israel was something of a superpower in the region, but this attack did not come from an outside enemy. His own family turned on him. It was all too common in the ancient world for a son to murder his father to take the throne. Even mighty Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, who laid siege to Jerusalem, was killed by two of his own sons. The story of Absalom's rebellion is found in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 19. Excuse me, I said 17 earlier, it's 19. Absalom already had blood on his hands. Years before, he had murdered his brother Amnon. Now Absalom began plotting to take the throne. While David was busy governing the nation, Absalom charmed the people and won their hearts. The rebellion began in Hebron, about 25 miles from Jerusalem, and the people of Israel rallied to him there. David barely escaped with his life. He fled his palace with the men still loyal to him, walking up the Mount of Olives, weeping, barefoot, and with his head covered. Along the way, one of Saul's relatives, a man named Shimei, cursed David up and down. David's enemies came out of the woodwork. Anyone who had a grudge against him rallied to Absalom. Most of the people were swept up by the current and joined the uprising. David and his followers marched all night, and by daybreak, they crossed the Jordan River. This is the background for Psalm 3. David's flight from Absalom was not a vague sense of disappointment that life hadn't turned out the way he wanted. It meant pumping adrenaline, a fight or flight response. This flight was the bone weariness of a forced march, the stabbing pain of betrayal. This is the first psalm that comes with a superscription. Not all psalms have a superscription, but when they do, we need to notice them. The word psalm in this case is the Hebrew word mizmor, and it means a song that is accompanied by stringed instruments. And so we see as we look at the psalms that there were songs that were sung with musical accompaniment. It's interesting as we go through this psalm tonight that in flight for his life, David still has a song in his heart. And you can't fake that, can you? Wouldn't you love to have a recording of the psalms along with the sheet music so that we could play along with them? I wish we did. We come up with our own tunes and all. In verses 1 and 2, we see the problem. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, we read, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Absalom was a charming man. Evidently, as he began to plot this insurrection, he gathered many, many followers, even some of David's closest counselors. Lord, David cries out, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. And so you can see that there is this awareness of strong opposition, betrayal, hatred against him. And if you've ever been betrayed, you know how that feels. And this is a betrayal that is coming from within his very own household and amongst his very own confidence. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, in verse 2, there is no help for him in God. Selah. With the troubles of the king mounting, many of his distrustful friends deduced that David was doomed to death. And thus they exclaimed that God had forsaken him. And David is feeling the pressure, the weight of such accusations. The word how in verse 1 in the Hebrew has the sense of people pressing down on David, closing in on him like a hunted man. He's backed into a corner and he's looking for help. David's enemies were not foreigners. We know that David was a mighty warrior, don't we? He'd fought battles against the Philistines, against the Ammonites, against the Edomites. But these were fellow Jews. The tribe of Benjamin jumped at the chance because King Saul had been from their tribe. They resented David, the son of Jesse, because he was from the tribe of Judah. And this was kind of like a payback. And just like any uprising, when it begins to take form, it's like that snowball that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The uprising grew and multiplied as his friends betrayed him, including many in his own army. Can't imagine how David felt. They cried, there is no help for him in God. Of course, that was a lie. But when you've got a multitude of people telling you words like this, it can't help but affect the way you think. The worst stroke of all was the accusation that God had abandoned him. And perhaps they thought that God had tossed David aside because of his sin with Bathsheba and having Uriah killed as a cover-up. And so they taunted David. There's no help for you. There's no help for you. When you and I have sinned, it's easy to think, for me anyways, it's easy to think that God wants nothing more to do with us. And it doesn't help matters when others will not let you forget your sin. That's the very definition of hopelessness. And right here, David calls for a pause. Musical interlude. We're not absolutely sure what this word Selah means. It's a nice name for a radio program. But we don't know what it means. Pause into singing. A time to stop and reflect with some musical accompaniment. Now, the Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And I wonder how many times you have read through the Psalms and the Spirit of God appears to be ministering right to you through the words of Scripture. So we see the problem, and it's a big problem. But in verse 3, we hear David's faith. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Those two words, but thou. In the Hebrew, it's emphatic. And here it reveals a deliberate turning to Yahweh and a concentration on Him in the face of the enemy. That is good counsel. When you are under enemy attack, but thou, O Lord, thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. Turn to Him. Turn off the noise and lift your voice to Yahweh. You, Lord, you are a shield. Imagine having God for a shield. He is your shield tonight. What a shield! An impenetrable shield. I'm very penetrable. I'm extremely weak. But God is my shield. God is your shield. And as a shield, God covers those who are His own. In Ephesians 6, we are told to take the shield of faith as believers. And with the shield of faith, that's not a shield of faith in your faith. That's a shield of faith in God, wherewith you quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. So we learn from Ephesians 6 that no matter how devoted you and I are to God, no matter how much we are in love with Jesus Christ, you can count on one thing for sure on this earth. You're going to have enemy attacks. They're going to come right from the devil. They're going to come right from people close to you. That's just a part of life. But God is our shield. He is our shield. It's the shield of faith. And we have to lift that shield up. Remember when Abraham defeated the kings after he rescued carnal Lot? And he was concerned that those five kings were going to come after him. And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. God is your shield tonight, beloved. Your shield, too. This side. Not only that side. That side's got it. This side, too. I am your shield. God is your shield. But God is not only your shield. He says, God is my glory. The glory comes from a word that the hippie movement ripped off. Comes from a word that means heavy, weighty. Back in the 60s, everything was heavy. Everything was weighty. Everything. Beautiful sunset. Wow, that's heavy, dude. Wow, that's weight. Well, this doesn't mean anything like that. This speaks of the weight of God's presence. When David spoke about the glory of God, he was speaking about the presence of God. You are my glory. Lord, I may not feel you, but I know that your presence is here with me. You believe that tonight? The cloud of glory, you remember, was spread over Israel. And it was a visible sign of the presence of God in the midst of his people. Lord, you are my shield and you are my glory. You're my glory. The glory of God is in this place tonight. Now, as a king, David, as we saw at the introduction, was extremely wealthy. And he had probably led Israel into one of the most economic thriving times. But at this moment, he had lost all of his earthly glory. But he did not lose the real glory. And that was the surrounding presence of the Lord. You see, you and I could lose everything in a moment of time here on earth. And yet not lose a single thing. You believe that? You know, one of the things that I've been chewing over, and I think I let the can, the tuna fish out of the can a couple of weeks ago, was how the Apostle John talked about the difference between knowing and believing. He says, we have known and believed. You and I can know a lot of Bible information, but it will not change you until you believe it in your heart. You may know it in your head. You may be able to pass an ordination exam or a seminary exam or an online ordination exam. You may know the facts. That's good. That's wonderful. But it has to get into your heart. When your knowledge is blended with what you believe, there is going to be a change. How you think, how you live, how you walk, how you pray. The gospel of Jesus Christ is really quite radical when we know it and believe it. You see, we seek a city that is to come, don't we? We're just passing through here. This is just a temporary place. We're just here for a few years. We're waiting for the return of the Lord to be with him. And I say that tonight, beloved, because why would God give to his bride, his church, armor? Because we're in a war. And I'm amazed at how many believers live like our sojourn on earth is a ticket to Disneyland. This is a war. This is a real war. And we wrestle not. Notice this. Remember this. When people get under your nerves. Now, that's not the people that come on Wednesday night. That's for the people that come to the other services on Sunday. So I'm talking about them. When people get under your skin. When people get under you. They just drive you the wrong way. Well, let me ask you in case you are. Do you have any people that are like that? Of course, you're not going to raise your hand. But I know you should. Hey, remember this. Remember this. This was brought out. I just got back from a conference with Pastor Ben. And it was pointed out. It was so clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. against spiritual wickedness in high places. What a promise that is. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. You have a shield, beloved. You have a shield. God Almighty is your shield. God Almighty is your glory. Now connect the dots. Israel had enemies in the Old Testament. The church has enemies in the New Testament. Both testaments, God's declaration to his people is what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Your responsibility is to represent me. I will take care of you. Can you deal with that? Or would you rather? David's got enemies. Did Saul hate David? Absolutely. And there was a time that David and his men were in a cave. David had already been anointed to be the king. And Saul and his men come into the cave to take a little bit of rest. And so some of David's men says, "Hey, David, Saul's over there. He's sawing wood." So remember what he did one time? He cut his garment. Then he got so convicted. They leave the cave. He goes to the other side and says, "Saul, Saul, Saul, forgive me. Forgive me. This guy wants to kill you." But you know why David was so brokenhearted? Because he says, "Don't touch the Lord's anointed." You see, because until God moved Saul out of the position of being king, as far as David was concerned, Saul was still his king. He could have killed him. I think it was two times. And he didn't. You know why? Because he believed that God was his son and his shield. And so here's David. He couldn't have been feeling any lower than he was. Here he's got his son Absalom leading the charge, his counselor Ahithophel, and who knows how many other people coming against him. And yet, they're taunting him. That's what the enemy does. He wants to taunt you. He wants to wear you down. "But thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me. You are a glory, and you lift up my head." Then in verses 4 through 6, assurance. "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." The holy hill refers to the location of the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the presence of the Lord. David's confidence is not shaken. He's not hiding his head in the sand. He's not denying that there's a battle. He's not tempting God. These people are coming at him, and he avoids them. But his confidence is not shaken. He reminds himself, "Lord, you have declared, you are my shield, you are my glory, you are the lifter up of my head." Now, this is where Bible reading and Bible memorization intentionally is very profitable, because you cannot draw out of an empty vessel. Hide God's word in your heart. Don't wait until you're under attack and think, "Well, where's that scripture? I know it's somewhere in the New Testament." Hide it in your heart. Speak it. Bless the Lord,
oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study his word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.